Good morning. Let's please sing 546, please. 546.
Troublesome times are here, filling men's hearts with fear. Freedom we all hold dear, now is at stake. Humble your heart to God, save from the jesting rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians away.
Please stand for prayer.
Heavenly Father, we stand before Thee this day, recognizing Thee as our Creator, and the Creator of all things that are in existence. So thankful for Your love, Father, and the love of Christ, that He was willing to come here and live and die, and teach us the things on how that we can be pleasing in Your sight, and to offer Himself as the sacrifice for our sins. We pray this morning, Father, for the many that we have among us that are not able to be here this morning. And we're so thankful, Father, for those that have recovered and be able to be with us and meet with us again. We pray for those that can't, especially with Dave this morning, as we think about Dave and Rosa gone, that the things that Dave will be facing in the future, we pray that You'd give him strength and courage, and as well as Rosa, and the many others that are not able to be here this morning, Father, that as we think of those people that when we pray for them, Father, that we know that You are caring for each one of us. We pray now, Father, that as we about to go into this worship of Thee, that we do so in doing those things that would be well-pleasing in Your sight, Father. We pray that You'd be with each one of us, that each one of us grow closer to Thee in the days ahead that You give us, that we might be the servant that You would have us to be. And please forgive us, Father, of our sins, and that we might be able to overcome those things that enter into our life that should not be there. We're so thankful for the church here at New Lexington. We pray that it might grow and we might be able to reach out to those around about us, our families, our friends, and the strangers that we run into. Now, Father, as we continue on with this service, we pray that You be with Daryl this morning as he presents his lesson. Help us to be good listeners and always apply Your word to our lives. We have that great hope we have because of Thee, Father, of someday being that an eternal home with Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. This comes from Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 22. This is King James Version. If you'd like to follow along with this in the Pew Bible, it is in 1464, the page, 1464. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried.
We'll mark our song books to 5, 6, 7 be our song of encouragement. Please turn to 484. Daryl will be our speaker this morning. Good to have him and Karen back. Daryl comes twice a month, and we appreciate that. He'd come every week. We'd appreciate it. But we're glad to have him and her. 484.
When the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall arise and the slender immortal shall envelop the skies, when the angel of death shall no longer destroy and the dead shall awaken in the morning.
Again this morning, and appreciate that welcome that Tom gave us. It is a blessing for us to be here, and for those that are listening through the Facebook app or whatever way you're listening to us. We appreciate you being with us as well. We would like to have you here with us because fellowship is much, much better when people are together. But we are glad to have you either here in person or watching us over one of the apps. We're, of course, going to start with the rich man and Lazarus, but I want to finish the reading. I didn't have Jim read the whole thing because it's a rather long reading. So if you will, turn with me back over to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to finish this reading from verse 23 down through the end of this chapter. Verse 22, as Jim had finished, so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. Besides all of this, between us and you is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can you, or nor can those from there pass to us." And then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment." And Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And the rich man said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And Abraham said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rise from the dead." So goes the ending of that reading, barring any mistakes I might have made. Now, I want to start off by, many times you might start off by saying this is a parable. However, Luke did not recite these words this way. He didn't recite the words of Christ by saying this is a parable, or Christ spoke to them a parable. In fact, he said Jesus started by saying these words, "There was." There was a man. There was a rich man. And there was a man by the name of Lazarus. This indicates that what is about to be told is a true event. Now, there's three main characters here of which Luke writes. The rich man, and he lists him as a certain rich man. So in the case that he's talking about a person in particular, not rich people in general. But there was a certain rich man. And he tells how he was dressed. Purple, fine linen, and he ate very well. Clothes with the things that rich people would have worn at that time. A beggar, not just any old Lazarus, but a certain beggar named Lazarus. There again, giving the particularness to a specific person. There again, making the fact that this is not a parable, but it's a true fact of a story, of what happened, of an account of what happened. Full of sores, he was laid at the rich man's gate. He begged for the crumbs from the rich man's table. And the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, that's bad enough. Dogs licking anything. We have a St. Bernard that for some reason wants to eat sometime through the day, lick the eyes of our bulldog who has stuff on his eyes. We try to keep him clean, but, you know, and that's just terrible looking. You know, imagine this, the dogs coming and licking your socks. Here's the difference. Dogs at those times were not domesticated animals. They were wild animals. They were not ones that you brought in to your house and you cuddled and you pet and you say, "Oh, and you aren't you just so sweet?" These are more like wild animals, and they're coming and they're licking the man's sores. You talk about disgusting. and of course, Abraham. He's referred to oftentimes in here as Father Abraham, showing the respect that even the rich man in his death had. And the place where Abraham is at is called Abraham's bosom. Now, verse 22. So if you want to follow along there within your Bible, the rich man dies, and he's carried away the beggar dies, and he's carried away, it says, by the angels to Abraham's bosom. Why is it mentioned this way? Probably because there was nothing special done for him when he died. What'd you do with a beggar back then? You took him to, we might call it Boot Hill. You just took him and you buried him in wherever you could bury him. No prompt, no circumstance. However, it says the rich man died. But he was not, he evidently had his pomp and circumstance. But he wasn't carried away by the angels. God didn't give him any special meaning, any special leaving of this life. Man gave him a special meaning, a special leaving of the life, no doubt, but God didn't. And when his senses come to him after he has passed away, he finds himself in hell, or some versions will use the word Hades. And we're going to get into that difference between hell and Hades here in a little bit. So what do we find these two places as? Abraham's bosom. Well, it appears to be a place of happiness for the righteous, for the saved. Hell, Hades, a place of torment for the wicked. Now, Burton Kaufman in his commentary says this: the Hadean world, as understood by the Jews, had two distinct places. And this lesson, as we go through this morning, is not going to be so much as a sermon, but as more of an instruction for you to learn. As Jim mentioned, the fact that you folks have been studying some of this on Wednesday night as well, evidently. And the purpose is for you to understand what's going on within our lives, what the Scripture teaches us, the truth about living and dying. And Burton Kaufman says there were two places, one for the righteous, that in this case we find called Abraham's bosom, and another for the wicked. And depending upon the version you use, he is either called hell or Hades. Now, Jesus uses those ideas here to endow the utmost significance. He teaches it because this is truth. This is fact. And he wants that people to understand what happens when you die. That there is a state, an immediate state between death and eternal judgment. So you have a spot when you die, and then there's a place when judgment comes as well. The basic teaching, excuse me, I got a little ahead of myself. The basic teaching here states that Abraham's bosom is a state of felicity, as the word is used. It's a place of being happy for the righteous. And hell or Hades, place of torment for the wicked. Some might ask, well, what about Jesus on the cross with the thief? And this may be a little bit out of the text in this lesson, but yet it really applies to it. Then one of the thieves on the cross, if you remember, as we talked about when we were here recently, asked Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus looked at him and said, today you will be with me in paradise. What is this paradise? What is this paradise that Jesus mentions? Now you find that over in Luke 23. Well, again, Burton Kaufman in his commentary talks about paradise, and he uses words from another commentator by the name of Ash. That he notes that in some elements of the first century Judaism, this word is described the heavenly abode of the soul between death and resurrection. Without much doubt, that's the meeting here. And it is the same to be noticed as the same as Abraham's bosom. Paradise, if you note, is not identified in any place in the scripture as the final abode, or in other words, where we rest in our eternal judgment. Now, we're going to look at the words here for just a minute. This comes from Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, which is pretty much the standard when you're looking up any words from the Hebrew or Greek that are in the Bible. The word bosom, referring in from Luke 16, 22, is referring to Abraham's. It's a word, the bosom, by analogy, can mean a comparison of a bay to a bosom. Now, not necessarily the bosom as in the chest, although that can be it. How many times of us, especially when we were younger, we wanted to lay our head on mom. We wanted to lay it up close to her because it made us feel better. But also within the Hebrew clothing was a place where they would actually could store things under the arm. Where we have pockets, they had a place where they could store things within their clothing, also referred to as the bosom. So it was a place where things were kept, especially things that were precious to them. The word paradise from Luke 23, 43, and the number there, the 3857, is the indication of the Greek word. That would be the number you would look up where Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." It's from an Oriental origin. It means a park in Eden. When you see, if you notice Eden, that word is capitalized. It's referring back to the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, we know what that was like. A place of beauty, a paradise, if you will. Now, hell and Hades, here's where a lot of discussion comes up. Depending upon the version that you have of your New Testament, we'll either use in places hell. Some other versions will use the word Hades. Now, the King James Version uses the word hell a lot. Now, there's a difference, though, between hell and Hades, and I want to describe that by the use of the word love. In our English language, we say love. I love my wife. Now, some people will also use to say, I love my dog. Is that the same kind of love? The same emotional feelings? I hope not. I hope that the love for the wife is different from the love for the dog. Some people will say, I love my car. I love hot dogs. I love this. I love that. But then within those words, each of those words are actually different. I love my wife. I like hot dogs. But oftentimes we'll use those words interchangeably. The King James did the same thing. When they interpreted the King James back in 1611, the word hell was used. Very seldom do you find the word Hades in the King James. And they used them interchangeably, but the Greek and the Hebrew uses of the words are very specific. In the Old Testament, according to the Bible study guide I looked up, the word Hades is not used, but the word hell is used quite often in the Old Testament. It is a word that you're going to be familiar with when I say Sheol, but it's actually refers to as in our English language, the way we would say it, it would be Hades, or the world of the dead. Now, we're not talking about zombies here, but the world of the dead, what you would refer to as the grave. The Bible uses that term quite often. In the New Testament, there are two uses of the word hell. One means Hades. And that is, as you see in number 86 there, the Greek, as Jesus would have used in King James chapter Luke chapter 16, verse 23. Even though in the King James it was interpreted and translated as hell, the better is as in the New Living Translation, as in the NIV, I believe the English Standard Version, the modern English version, uses the word Hades, which is referring to the place of the departed soul. Again, a grave where we go when we die. Also in the New Testament, though, however, they translated the word hell properly sometimes. Sometimes. 1067 would be an example of that, where Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, "Do not fear he who can kill the body and soul, or kill the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul, not in Hades," but the word here uses the 1067 word, "in hell," eternal judgment, eternal damnation. It's the name for a place or state of eternal or everlasting punishment. We call it hell. So you have to kind of look at the words and understand. Some of the newer translations have the better translation of the word over the King James. Now, again, just briefly. In Old Testament, hell, the Hebrew was Sheol, or Hades, the world of the dead, the grave. Hades, as it were speaking of here in Luke chapter 16, is the place of or state of the departed souls. Again, the grave. That's in the New Testament. And again in the New Testament, though, when you're speaking of eternal punishment, you're speaking of a place known as Gehenna. Now, Gehenna was actually a place outside of Jerusalem, if my understanding is correct, where they would take and oftentimes take and throw trash and burn stuff, and sometimes they would even maybe put people there. Just dead people. If you've ever seen the movie Ben-Hur, I know that goes back a way, but if you've ever seen that movie, there's a section where Ben-Hur returns to Jerusalem after having been on the slave ships and everything, and he looks for his family, and he finds his mother and his sister in this place called Gehenna. They have leprosy, and that's where some of the lepers would live. But that word Gehenna, when translated as in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, means eternal punishment or hell. Now, let's go back into our passage in Luke chapter 16, verse 23. It says, "The rich man is in torment due to flame. And he asked Father Abraham for Lazarus to put his finger in some water to get a drop of water to come and to cool his tongue." Now, what's this telling you? This is telling you, you have senses. You have senses. You're able to feel. You're able to see. You're able to communicate. And in Hades, now this is the Hades, this is after you have died. Judgment Day has not occurred yet. After you die, if you are in Hades, you are in torment. You're in flame. Pain. Verse 25. Abraham looks back and speaks back to him. He says, "Son, remember, things have changed now." You know, what's that old saying we like to use? What goes around comes around. Well, in this case, this is exactly what happened. The rich man had all the comforts in this world when he was alive. Lazarus had none. He just begged for the crumbs off the rich man's table. How many times do we go around and picking up all the crumbs off of the floor in our kitchen or dining room after we get done eating and put them in a bowl and eat them? That's what Lazarus wanted. He wanted those crumbs. He was that hungry. He was that poor. And that's what he had it wanted. But Abraham said, "It's changed now. Now Lazarus is comforted. And you are the one who's in pain. Remember what Lazarus had? Lazarus had sores. Now, most of us are fortunate that we did not grow up with sores and boils and things like this, but I can remember my dad telling me about when he had one. It was on the back of his neck, and he said it was the most uncomfortable thing he can ever remember. Remember Job, covered in him? Lazarus, he's got some too. Now let's continue on. Verse 26, continuing on. Besides all this, there's a gulf between us, the King James uses. Some verses will use a chasm. There's a space between us and you. We can't go there. You can't come here. So he can't, even if Lazarus wanted to, he can't dip his finger in the water and come out and cool your tongue. He just can't do it. So is this actually the end? I mean, when you stop and you look at it, it looks like they've already reached the end of time. We've already reached the end of time. Lazarus is laying back. He's enjoying life. He's able to be there and sit and talk with Father Abraham. And the rich man is in torment, flame. But no, it's not the end. And it's not the end of what Jesus was teaching. Verses 27 through 30 explains how we can know that the judgment has not occurred. Judgment has not occurred. Well, we go to verse 27. The rich man says, I beg you, Father. Now notice the respect he gives to him. Every time he addresses Abraham, it's Father. It's Father Abraham. He's giving him the respect. He says, Father, that you would send into my father's house. I have five brothers, that he may testify to them that they won't come to this place. He asked that he go back. Now that could, why would he be going back to a house if Judgment Day has already occurred? Because Judgment Day has not occurred, and there are people still living on the earth as we have this at this time right now. Everyone in here has loved ones that is in one of these two places. They're in one of these two places. But we are still living, just as it was at this time, as Jesus tells the account of the rich man and Lazarus. And Abraham then tells him, well, I understand that you don't want them to come back. You don't want them to go to this place. You don't want them to be with you. That is admirable. But he says, we can't go there. We can't go back. Well, Abraham says, they've got Moses and the prophets. So what's this tell you? This occurred in Old Testament times. This did not happen after Luke or Acts chapter 2. This occurred, what Abraham said? Moses? And the prophets? Other prophets that might have been alive at that time that thought that we know nothing about, but we're teaching God's word? So that's how we know that this is not the end of time. Time is still going on. Then the rich man says, no, Father, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will respond. But Abraham then tells him, says, if they won't hear the living, in verse 31, they're not going to hear somebody that comes back from the dead. They're not going to hear them either. This is clear evidence that time as we know it had not ended, since people were still alive on the earth. Hades and Abraham's bosom, or paradise, whichever word you want to use for that, are real places. They're real places. And each one of us, all of us here, will end up in one of those two places. That is, unless the Lord comes first. Now, if the Lord comes first, things all change. The righteous are called to meet him in the air, and judgment is all handled. But if that doesn't occur, if he has not come back, we will all be in one of those two places. It's the place where we will, while we are awaiting our judgment to be passed, that will make the announcement of whether we, where we will spend eternity. A judgment of guilty? All right? And remember, it's a judgment. The judgment of guilty, since we never knew Christ, due to your not following his word while living, a sentence of eternal punishment to be spent in hell, Matthew chapter 25, 41 through 46. A judgment of innocent. And let me back up. Let me fill in something here. A judgment of guilty will be announced on those who are in Hades. Remember, they're in torment. Those that's in torment, the judgment is now passed. And the judgment is you're guilty. Those that are in paradise, in Abraham's bosom, will hear the judgment of innocent. Since Christ was who you followed while you were living. And you will have a sentence of eternal life to be spent in heaven. When you die, where will you be waiting judgment day? That'll be the question. When you die, where will you be waiting for judgment day? Will you be in Abraham's bosom? Or will you be in Hades in torment? Where will you wait for the judgment day? That's the question I'm going to leave you with today. When judgment day comes, where will you be waiting? If you have died, you'll be in one of those two places. Now, if you've never named your Lord, Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then of course, if you die, you'll be in Hades. I'm not making a judgment, I'm stating a fact. There's a difference between judgments and opinions and facts. That's a fact. Jesus said so. If you've named Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you followed him, you'll be in Abraham's bosom or paradise. This morning, you need to make sure of where you're going to go. If you need to respond, come as we stand and sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming, there's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be born and cried and wept, are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready for the judgment?
134, to prayer of minds, take Lord's Supper.
Up we come together.
Daryl's lesson. Let me see. I'm going to go to verse 28 in Luke chapter 16. And this is rich man speaking. For I have five brothers, that he might testify them that lest they also come to this place of torment. Abram said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abram, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And this is what we're here for right now. We're here to pay respect and remembrance of one who died and was rose again. Jesus died and suffered and died for our sins. And after 3 days, he arose. And because he arose, we have that hope of eternal life. And we come together on the first day of every week to remember what Jesus did for us. I hope that you keep that deep in your hearts, that this is one of the most important things in all of life, is we have to remember what Jesus did for us. We have to be respectful of that. And we need to be very, very thankful for that. I want everyone here to have a happy heart this morning. And I want you to respect and understand what Jesus did for us. We need to be very happy for that. Because we could be like that rich man, and that would not be a pleasant place to be, to say the very least. Let us give thanks for the bread that represents Jesus' body that was hung on the cross for us. Dear Lord, we come before you, we thank you for your Son. We thank you for your love. We thank you for Jesus' love, his willingness to suffer and die for us. Help us to be so thankful. Help us to always remember what he did for us. Dear Lord, bless this bread that represents his body. Dear Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us likewise give thanks for the fruit of the cup, or fruit of the vine. Dear Lord, we humbly come before you. Again, thanking you for your Son. Thank you for what Jesus did for us. Bless this fruit of thine, represents his blood that was shed on the cross. Help us always be mindful of that sacrifice. All this we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Another part of our worship is giving back to God. God has blessed us so richly, especially in this country. And I really feel that Americans don't understand how we are blessed. Just for the freedom that we have here this morning to assemble and worship God without the fear of being persecuted, put in jail, our lives taken. We have for most of the world, we live in luxury, absolute luxury. And it's all because God gave it to us. Let us go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for the blessings of life that you so richly bestow upon us. You give us everything we need and most of everything we want. Dear Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, that we would be a joyful giver as we give back to thee. Dear Lord, we again thank you for your Son, for your love and the mercy that you show upon us. Please forgive us of our shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother Tom has announcements. Couldn't remember who had announcements. Brother Tom.
Please get a bulletin. A lot in there. Won't go over everything, but go over a few things. Pennsville's having a sing in a couple weeks. And they're having many other guest speakers this month in August. Look at those things if you're interested. They're having the Friends Day October 13th. A whole lot of people on prayer lists in your bulletin. Please pray for these people at home. Got a few things here. Brenda gave me a note here from Rosa. Says Rosa asked for prayers for David's brother, Ed. He's having the upcoming test. Please remember Dave Hall. He's going through so much. He got a long ways to go. Be with him. Say a prayer for him. Many prayers that he'll get back. Rosie's wore out. Remember her. With God's help, they can do all things, though. Got a couple cards here. Dear Church of Christ at New Lex, thank you so much for the Bible and the words of encouragement. Your thoughtfulness touched my heart. Many blessings. Gracie Starr. It's Brenda Nerney's granddaughter. Thank you so much for sending the beautiful flowers and thoughtful card. Thank you also for the communal prayers. Sincerely, Mary Samantha Maxwell. That's nice. Also, I remember Betty on. She's having a lot of tests and things coming up. Remember Betty in your prayers, going through a lot. Does anyone have anything to announce? Also, Jim's got something good to have Daryl with us. Always a pleasure, and Karen. Last week, there's a lady here, Bonnie. It was her name. I got her name, talked to her a little bit. Keep her in her prayers. She's not here this morning. Told me she wants to come back and get baptized. So we hope she'll do that. Bonnie's her first name. I didn't get her last name, but I failed to have her fill out a card, and that was my fault. But we can still pray for her and hope she'll come back. And she's got problems with lungs. She had a Vora tube, so hopefully she'll come back. Anyone else have anything? Jim, you have something you want to say? Good to see everyone this morning.
This morning, Rosa's text. I don't know whether you got some of the text we sent out. She was receiving so many texts and other ways of communicating, she just couldn't keep up with everything. Wanted to apologize for that, but that's good to hear that you're doing that. So thankful for that. Here's the text she sent us this morning. Good morning. Just wanted to let everyone at church know that we truly are blessed to have such a loving Christian family. Appreciate and love each and every one. We love all of you now. Good news about Dave is progressing from day to day. I feel he's getting stronger in use of his speech and hand back. I can see good progress. His swallowing seems to be doing some better. Still on the feeding tube. Monday having another video of, this would be an x-ray video of the swallowing test. Pray really hard, it's getting better. And they can take the tube out. And if that happens, I feel very confident he will do much better. Better focusing on his other issues again. We love all of you and grateful. God is our greatest physician. I believe in prayers and faith go hand in hand. Big hugs, Rosa. So that was her text this morning. So keep Dave in your prayers. As you might mention, really wasn't mentioned, I don't think, that he did have some kind of stroke, so he can't even swallow right now. He's being fed with a feeding tube. So they're hoping to take that out, and they're seeing things now that, you know, some of these things are coming back. With stroke victims, I had a man I taught with for several years. He had one. He was out for almost a year, but come back, and almost everything was back to where he was able to function well and taught for many years. So can recover from that. Keep the prayers up. Also, because of the illnesses I've had, I haven't kept up with this good. We do have another month's worth of these, and I've got about, I think, two or three more. Just wanted to get these out so people could see what they're like. So one for you, and please try to give one to somebody else. I'm going to ask Tyler to hand these out this morning. And if any other announcements at this time? Jared? Okay. You want to do that now?
Good morning, everybody. On the back side of that glass back there, and you may have read about this several times on the website by now, but it on the website especially, it says that we're going to be doing some different stuff with that room back there. And by now, if you walk by the door, you'll see some new stuff in there. So we're putting together the digital center. We're moving forward in what we've been talking about for months. And it's going to, you know, open up some new doors on what we can do as a church, not only to spread the gospel and to educate everyone on the teachings of Christ, but also it'll allow us to, you know, allow those of you who want to get your hands on the technology that helps to make this kind of thing happen and help to learn it or to participate in the learning process, the presentation process, you're more than welcome to stop in. I just had somebody walk by the door and say, well, I'm not coming in. If you want to come in, come in. That's what it's there for. It's our stuff. So if anybody walks by the door and wants to come in and explore and hear about what we're going to do and even touch some of it, get to know it, I welcome anybody who wants to come by. Swing on it.
I'm going to add to that, that most of that in there is variations. So if there are errors, that's the variation. Anything else? You can say it with those of you.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to worship you, sing these songs unto you. God, we ask you to be with those unable to be with us, those that have various health ailments, tests, and procedures coming up, that you would give them comfort during their challenging time. God, we ask you to be with Dave Hall during his challenging time where he's had some major surgeries, that he continues to recover during this time, and be with Rosa as she supports him during his recovery. God, we thank you for being able to have Daryl come give a lesson from your word today. Please help us to apply that lesson to our lives to become better Christians, reach others, and grow the church. God, please be with us as we go our separate ways, and help us to stay strong in this, the face of temptation. And when we fall short, Lord, please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.